Nadia Bolz Weber calls for a sexual reformation in her latest book, Shameless. How does her reformation compare with the truths rediscovered during the 16th century Reformation? I've written a review of Shameless in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button on the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Andrew Abraham details his journey from Catholic priest to Lutheran pastor. The free online Issues Etc. journal. I can confidently say that I have witnessed many miracles. Most Christians wouldn't regard them as miracles, but they are, in fact, miracles. Very recently, I witnessed the baptism of a baby, a member of the congregation where I serve, and that is a bona fide miracle. The Holy Spirit works a miracle of faith there. It doesn't cause someone to get up out of a wheelchair and walk. It doesn't give them a clean bill of health from stage 4 cancer. It does more than that. It actually washes away sins, clears the conscience, and makes that sinner a child of God. That's a real miracle. But again, most Christians, when they think miracle, think about the wheelchairs and the crutches and the stage 4 cancer and the other things that we, for some reason, associate with miracles. So what do we do when someone claims to have either witnessed or performed a miracle? That's a very, very good question. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. Today we're going to be talking about Todd White's claims of miraculous healings. Pastor Chris Rosebro joins us. He's pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
We often discuss the New Apostolic Reformation. What is it, and why is there pressure in this movement to produce miracles?
Well, signs and wonders are part of their theology, and so much so that they see Jesus as an example that we need to follow. And if we're not performing miracles, according to them, we're somehow not delivering a gospel that has power, and we're missing a mandate directive on the part of Christ.
Who is Todd White?
Todd White is a fellow who's come up through the ranks of the NAR. He was trained by Patricia King, and she's out of Arizona, and she's a lady who we've covered for the entire time I've been doing my Fighting for the Faith podcast, and to say that she's got wacky theology is kind of an understatement. But over the past couple of years, his lifestyle Christianity has received the notice and the endorsement of Kenneth Copeland and Benny Hinn. He's tightly associated with the people from Bethel Church in Redding, California, and Jesus Image. And so he is a rock star within the NAR. And he also got a lot of press in documentaries that were put out regarding the Holy Spirit, you know, that were again endorsed by Bethel Church. So within the NAR, this guy is considered to be royalty, new royalty, but he's achieved royalty status within that group.
He has this kind of Rastafarian Hulk Hogan thing going lately. I mean, and very flamboyant in his dress, kind of like a Benny Hinn for the 21st century, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Is he new to claiming miracles? Is he starting to do that? Or has he been doing it his whole rise?
His entire rise, he's been claiming that he's able to perform miracles. And he kind of made a name for himself on YouTube. You know, if you think of some of the street magicians who've launched their careers by, you know, putting videos out on YouTube, he's kind of done the same. And so even early on with Patricia King, he was known for taking a video camera with him, probably just a cell phone, and going out and performing street miracles with people. That's still part of what he does, a regular part of what he does, but that's where he kind of rose to fame. So 2008, 2009 is when he began doing this, and so over the past 10 years, he's had a very slow, steady rise. He's been claiming to be able to perform miracles, and you can find those miracles out on YouTube, you know, where he claims that he's healing people of various diseases and lengthening legs and things like that. that has really launched him into a completely different category.
Okay, I'm intrigued. We got about a minute here before we need to take a break. If I were to search YouTube for Todd White's Street Miracles, what kind of stuff would I see? Is it like David Blaine kind of levitation? What is it?
It's more along the lines of him praying for people than claiming that they received a burning. They felt something warm. And then also, is, you know, he's very famous for lengthening legs. This is a big deal of his. He'll say, you know, I can see that you're slouching to one side. He'll sit him down on a park bench and go, oh, look, one leg is longer than another. And then he performs a miracle where he apparently gets both legs to be exactly the same size. I mean, that's part of what he does.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest on this Friday, July the 12th. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. Today we're going to talk about Todd White's claims of miraculous healings. On the other side of the break, we will hear some of those claims for ourselves and we'll get Pastor Roseborough's evaluation of them. Feel free to join us with questions or comments. We have an email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. And the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR9. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
The idea that people have an inner gender that's not made up of matter, it's not biological in nature, it's not something you can look at under a microscope, whether it's an organized religion or not, it's born out of a religious worldview.
A phrase like God's new Israel, a chosen people, city on a hill, these words taken away from their rightful owners and turned to the purposes of the modern nation state.
The Ten Commandments guide us away from self-chosen good works, and they direct us to works that God has commanded for the well-being and service of the neighbor.
It is wonderful. It is absolutely wonderful that Matthew leaves us with the words of Jesus echoing in our ears. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.
That's just a little preview of the four sound bites we're going to be playing for you in about a half hour here on Issues Etc. When we play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, it's your opportunity to win the LPR bundle package. That's a Luther Rose medallion, courtesy of Ad Crucem, the I Have Issues t-shirt, an Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, and notepad in a half hour when we play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. In the meantime, it's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're talking about Todd White's claims of miraculous healings. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. So, Chris, before the break, you were talking about Todd White's street miracles, this kind of got-your-nose, three-card Monty kind of stuff he's doing on YouTube. He's a charlatan.
Yeah, that's the best way to put it.
I mean, do this leg lengthening. You know you're doing a trick when you do leg lengthening with people on a park bench. You know you're doing it.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, there a few years back, there was a UK magician and mentalist who did an entire documentary where he took a guy off the street and trained him in all of these techniques and turned him into a faith healer. And the signature move was the leg lengthening trick, and he showed like three different ways in which you can pull it off. And the documentary American Gospel, they actually show some of his street magic, and it he was just pivoting somebody's ankle to make it look like that they were having their leg lengthened. This guy is a complete con artist. He knows that these are not miracles. He knows that he's manipulating people. And so to call him a charlatan is not above, or beyond the pale. That is the correct term to use for him.
So what are we going to hear first from Todd White?
All right, we're going to start with a theological position. We've talked about kenosis before. And so our first soundbite is, kind of sets the basis for the rest of what we're going to hear, where he claims that Jesus performed all the miracles that he performed as a man, not using his deity at all.
Jesus did what he did, not as God. He had to humble himself and become a bondservant. He was fully God and fully man. But Jesus had to walk out this covenant as a man because the covenant was made with man. So when Jesus was placed into Mary's belly, he was placed in there fully man, fully God, but fully man. He could not fulfill the covenant as God because God made covenant with man. Man had to walk out his end. And in order for man to walk out his end, he had to be tempted at all points, yet without sin. And scripture says that it is impossible for God to be tempted. And Jesus was tempted at all points. That scripture alone verifies that when he was here, he walked this out as a man. See, if Jesus didn't do what he did as a man, there's nothing for us to model. There's no model for us. And then we're always left with, well, that was Jesus. No, Jesus was tempted at all points. He was tempted at points that none of us have ever been tempted at. He was tempted at all points for everyone in every area, all of it. Jesus was, and he sinned not. He never, ever, ever, ever gave a license to his flesh to sin. When it comes to the miraculous, if you don't understand this, then you can't pray for the sick. Why? Because that was Jesus. I'm not Jesus. No, Jesus never healed the sick as God. Jesus healed the sick as a man in perfect relationship with God. Jesus was here. The Holy Spirit comes down upon Jesus, rests it upon him, and remained. And when Jesus healed the sick, it was God through Jesus. Jesus said several times, he said, if you don't believe me through the things that I say, at least believe me through the works that I do. For it's the Father who dwells in me that does the works. That's Jesus. We're like, well, Todd White's taking deity away. No, no, no. All I'm doing is talking about the Bible. I know that Jesus is fully God, but he humbled himself. Philippians 2. Humbled himself and became a bondservant, just like us.
So, Chris, why is this kenosis, this notion that Jesus operated without employing any divine power or prerogative, so important in the NAR movement and in Todd White's claim of the miraculous?
So the reason is important is because, according to their theology, Jesus is the quintessential example of what a man can do who is fully yielded to the power of the Holy Spirit. And so they look at the life of Christ as a high watermark that we are to aspire to and to seek after and go after miracles in our own lives. And in fact, some of them would even say that not only is Jesus a high watermark, but that we, because Jesus said we would do greater works than him, that he just set the bar and we're supposed to exceed the miraculous signs and wonders that Jesus did. So signs and wonders are just like, the pinnacle center of their theology, this canonic understanding of Christ, then, which is a tacit denial of the hypostatic union. This then forms the basis. So Jesus isn't a moral example for us. Jesus is a supernatural example for us, and we can do better than even him if we just apply ourselves.
Explain your theological term there, a tacit denial of the hypostatic union.
Okay, so tacit means it's unsaid, but it's assumed. And denial of the hypostatic union. So here's the idea. We believe that Jesus Christ, as the Athanasian Creed so succinctly says, is both God and man. And that he is God, the Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, and he is man, begotten of his mother in this world. And there are not two Christs, there are one. So in confessing then that Jesus has two natures, there is nothing that Jesus did, and I mean this, from walking across the street to blowing his nose to eating a fish dinner to, you know, to talking with somebody, there's nothing that Jesus did in only one of his natures, but he accomplished everything using both. Think of it this way. As human beings, we have a physical body, and we also have a spirit. And so I always like to say to people, all right, what I would like you to do right now is I want you to go outside, and I want you to do 10 jumping jacks, and I want you to do it using only your body and not your spirit. And you realize you can't do that, because if you were to try to to do that without your spirit, your spirit would have to leave your body first, and so you would be dead at that point, and you wouldn't be doing any jumping jacks. So there's nothing that we do in this lifetime as human beings where our spirit and our body are not both engaged. Same way when it comes to Christ, there's nothing that he did where both of his divine and human natures are not involved. To say that somehow Jesus could do anything once he's incarnate and in the womb of the Virgin, there's nothing that he did, from sucking his thumb to pooping his diapers to nursing at Mary's breast to walking on water, that Jesus didn't do as both God and man.
What's next from Todd White?
All right, so we've talked about the fact that he's a charlatan, and what we're going to listen to here is part one of a two, we have cut this into two pieces, where he's going to claim that he is going to perform, he performed a miracle for a pastor who was, as he said, born with polio. But as we listen to this statement, he's setting up a straw man, and there's certain things that he says that don't even jive with what we know about the history and how polio works. And we'll let him kind of spin this out.
You've probably received similar advice as I have regarding the miraculous, that coming off that a bit would help expand reach or maybe be more acceptable to different people or different streams. Maybe the healing thing is limiting your message. What's your response there? What's your conviction?
Pray for him, have him get healed. I've been in front of lots of people that don't agree. I've actually been on airplanes with pastors from churches that are adamant that preach against healing, like really mad. And when I share my testimony, they're like, wow, that's amazing. So the Lord rescued you. And I'm like, he did. He saved me from all this stuff, from pornography, from drugs. When I'm on, like, specifically on planes and wherever I was, when I worked for the ICE company, I was a full-time missionary in America as soon as I got born again. So I knew that Jesus wanted to use me to heal and wanted me to pray for the sick. So I mean, several times, I could just share testimonies, I guess, of a couple. I ran over to a car. There was a pastor. He was from a denomination that didn't believe in healing. He actually preached against it his whole life. I was actually delivering ice. I ran over and I put ice in his car to help him. And he was like, thank you very much. And I shared my testimony with him, because he told me he was a pastor. And I was like, man, I said, well, let me share what Jesus did for me. And I shared it with him. And he's kind of looking me up and looking me down. And I could tell that there's maybe a little bit of my dreads aren't very comfortable for him, just to start with. And that's okay. And I said to him, I said, man, I said, I noticed you limping when you came to your car. Now, when I told my testimony, he was really happy. But when I started to share about the miraculous, he was like, okay, we're pretty much done. I said, well, wait a second. I said, you have a leg that's short, obviously. He said, I was born with polio. I'm like, no way. So he's a head pastor of a church in Harrisburg.
All right. So he's setting up the story. What do you have to say at this point, Chris?
Well, we got a couple of interesting things. Number one, born with polio is a weird way to talk, because polio is eliminated in the United States. And it has been for a long time. It was effectively eradicated during the 1950s. And the last known documented case of polio in the United States was 1979. And then somebody brought in a case of polio in 1993. We don't have any cases of polio like that he's describing. And polio is something that you contract, and it's extremely difficult to pass it on mother to child in vitro, especially if it's been eradicated in the United States. But you're gonna note here that when you start pushing on the facts that he's stating, this story doesn't stand up to scrutiny. And also add into the mix here, he doesn't give the name of the pastor. And then there's this weird thing that he's doing, and this is part of the rhetoric of the NAR. Oh, those other denominations, they preach against healing. Now, Todd, I've been a pastor for 5 years, and I've never once preached a sermon against healing. In fact, I've gone to the hospital, and I've prayed with people, and I've prayed that God would heal them. I believe that God answers prayer and that he heals people, and I've seen people in the congregations I serve that God answered our prayers on behalf of them in the affirmative, and they were healed, and they resumed normal life. So it's weird. There's this straw man that he's setting up that, you know, and this is part of the rhetoric of the NAR. Whole denominations are dedicated and position themselves against the idea that God heals today. But I don't know that denomination. I listen to, you know, hundreds of sermons a week, at least survey them, and I've yet to hear a sermon from somebody saying, I'm going to explain to you why God never heals or used to heal, but he doesn't heal anymore, and therefore we shouldn't pray and stuff. I've never heard that sermon. And so you'll note that not only is the story fishy as far as the historical details, but it's really sketchy because theologically, I have yet to run into the person that he's describing.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're talking about Todd White's claims of miraculous healings. He set up the story. We'll hear the claim on the other side of the break. Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and hosts the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith.
What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's a monthly magazine on faith and life, theology and culture that helps readers interpret the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective. Filled with expert insights, good writing, and inspiring stories, it also provides essential church information for LCMS members. What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's the flagship periodical of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has been for more than a century. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today.
Memoria Press now offers 8 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for children with special needs. These full-year packages help you teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art and music, poetry, science, history, Latin, classical and Christian studies in incremental and multisensory ways for mastery. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR9 to save on resources for your home or school.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're talking about Todd White's claims of miraculous healings. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. Joyfully Lutheran is the theme of the next issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine. It's available in print and online. You can learn more at cph.org/witness. Interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective, the Lutheran Witness magazine, cph.org/witness. Chris, what are we going to hear next from Todd White? I imagine the big reveal is on its way.
Yeah, he's going to explain, you know, the rest of the story, as they like to say.
And I said to him, I said, I would love to pray for you. He goes, man, I'm really good. I've been, you know, I'm born this way. Look, God doesn't do that anymore. I said, well, if he doesn't do it, then let me pray for you because nothing will happen. And he's like, well, I don't care if you pray for me. So I said, all right. I said, well, I need to see your feet. So he had a 3.5-inch short leg because polio made it really small, and he's hobbling. I said to him, man, I said, well, look, here's the deal. And I have his feet in my hands. And I said, if Jesus doesn't heal, then your leg's not going to grow. But if it grows, you've got to change everything. He looked at me. He goes, I ain't changing nothing. I go, okay, Jesus, I thank you for this leg growing out right now. And the muscles filled out in his leg, and his leg grew out 3.5 inches.
Wow.
So I was like, what are you going to do with that? Because he didn't believe. He was an unbelieving believer. He believed enough to get to heaven, but not enough for heaven to get into him. So I said to him, I said, what are you going to do about that? And he looked at me, and he goes, I don't know what I'm going to do. I said, well, could you get up and give me a hug? We start there. So he stood up, and he said,
start with a hug.
I don't know. I said, can you walk? And he walked, and he goes, oh, my God. I said, that's right. He's our God. He's Jehovah Rapha. Look what he just did for you. And he looked at me and he goes, this doesn't happen. I said, well, walk again and just tell me it doesn't happen again. And he walked and he goes, oh, my God. Oh, my God. I said, what are you going to tell your church, man? He goes, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Really? So we hugged. I told him how much I loved him. He goes, man, do you have a business card? Do you have a card? I'm like, I'm the ice man. I deliver ice, man. I love Jesus with all my heart.
All right, Chris, have at it.
Great story, right? Yeah. The issue is that there are videos now dedicated to documenting and have definitively proven that his signature leg lengthening miracle is not a miracle at all. It's a parlor trick. It's street magic. And you can find all this on YouTube. In fact, we did a YouTube video about it this week because he's doubled down on his ability to lengthen legs. But again, this is just a charlatan street magic parlor trick. And you'll note, we don't know the name of the guy. The details regarding the illness that he has don't seem to measure up or jive with what we know historically about polio and its eradication here in the United States. So, you know, these are the types of miracle claims that are common within the NAR and charismatic movement. Over and again, people making claims with no substantiation, no medical records. What's this guy's name? How come this wasn't on the headlines about how this man who had, you know, born with polio, which puts him into an extremely small category in the United States of all places, who preached against healing? I'd like to know this, who this guy is, because don't you think that if this had, you know, was real, he would have taken to social media himself? He'd be really easy to track down. We know he's from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, but again, you know, none of the details are ever forthcoming. It's just a story hung out there in outer space to prove that he practices what he preaches, because he takes it seriously that Jesus is our model regarding the miraculous. And so you kind of see how this works.
I would note that in the New Testament accounts of healing on the part of either Jesus himself or his apostles subsequent to him, there's none of this kind of who was it, where did it happen, all those kinds of vagaries that make this a loophole rather than a testimony. They're all verifiable. There are people who run off giving testimony. There are people who don't see, then do see, and they're witnesses to the fact galore.
Yeah, I even think about Lazarus. After Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, not only did the Jews say, we've got to kill Jesus, they were thinking about killing Lazarus too. I mean, he was just raised from the dead. They want to kill him. And so even Jesus' opponents, they were left with the reality that Jesus legitimately performed these miracles, that he did these things. They couldn't deny it. And their solution was to kill Jesus. You know, with Todd White, you sit there and you go, did this really happen or not? You know, he's made a big to-do about how Jesus is our model, and that somehow we've got to be doing these miracles as well. And yet the evidence that he gives leaves you scratching your head going, is that real? Because it doesn't really sound all that impressive to me. You know, he tells a good story, but did it really happen? We don't know.
So what else does Todd White have to say?
All right, so he's going to give another example. And on this soundbite, I want you to listen to how he quotes the long ending of Mark and literally the anxiety that this would create in the average person in the NAR listening to this, who is a mere mortal like you and I.
Because I don't need the person in front of me to agree with me. I don't want them to be in a position of, okay, I'm expecting you to pray for me. Because when you approach people in public, they're not expecting a miracle to happen. And a lot of people have been taught that it doesn't happen today, that that's not for today. In my life, when I first started to believe that healing was for today, because I saw somebody get healed of leukemia, and the guy wasn't expecting to get healed. He actually told the pastor, you're our last resort. The wife said, we're out of options. We don't believe in healing. We've been taught our whole life. It's not for today. We've been Christians our whole life. And honestly, this is totally weird for us. But the doctor sent my husband home. He's on hospice. And so he's going to die. 49 cases. He's the 50th. And the doctors haven't given him much time to live. And he's like, you know, is that going to matter? And Dan looked at him and he goes, absolutely not. Let me pray for you. So I was like, oh my gosh, what is that? Because I never saw healing. I didn't understand. But it was faith. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. Whether they're hoping or not, you can hope for them. So I'm really excited about this. So Dan prays for him. 2 weeks later, he hobbled out. 2 weeks later, the medical report comes in. He's completely 100% healed of leukemia.
Wow.
And so I lost it. I said, oh my God, I'm praying for everyone. I'm praying for everything that moves to Dan. And he goes, okay, amen. And so we went to Walmart the first trip, my wife and my daughter and I, and I saw somebody on a walker. And I took Destiny over, my little 7.5 year, and I was like, come on, honey, let's go pray for her. She goes, why, Daddy? I said, because these signs will follow them that believe. In my name, he said, in Jesus' name. And we're going to lay hands on her. She goes, Daddy, I'm not comfortable with this. I'm like, I know, just come with me. So she's behind me. So we pray for her, and we asked her, okay, check it. She goes, thanks for trying. And she just walked on. And so this happened for like a long time, like 3.5 months. We prayed for an average of 10 people every day. And I saw no miracles at all, prayed for over 900 people without seeing anything. But every time I went back to my Bible, it still said the same thing. It didn't change.
It's so true.
I went back and it said, these signs will follow them that believe. I'm like, Lord, help my belief. I obviously, I'm a Christian. I love Jesus with all my heart, and I know they need healed. And so kept praying, prayed for over almost 1,000 people. And I got a word of knowledge, and someone got healed, and it was amazing.
All right, Chris, what would you do with that?
So you'll note he's misquoting the long ending of Mark, and you got to be careful with that long ending of Mark, because there's Pentecostals in the Appalachians who are handling rattlesnakes and drinking strychnine during their church services in order to prove that they're true Christians. But you heard it where he said, well, I see it in the Bible, and you know, it's in this long ending of Mark, and you know, and so I'm going to keep praying, and Lord, why aren't you, you know, I know I'm a Christian, so why aren't these signs following me? And so you'll note then that he talks about how he did this with over 1,000 people over a 3-month period, and finally he had his breakthrough. And so the moral of the story is, you know, Todd, you probably need to pray for 1,000 people too, so that, and believe that those signs and wonders will follow and accompany you if you're truly a Christian. And there it is. You'll note then that there's a weird works righteousness that goes along with this view. You're not truly a Christian if you, when you pray for somebody, they don't get healed. It challenges whether or not you are truly a Christian or not. So there's a kind of a legalistic form of works righteousness now that goes with this false teaching. If you were truly a Christian, then you would be able to heal the sick and give sight to the blind and stuff like this, because after all, these signs will follow true Christians. And if it's not, if you're not performing it because Jesus was our model, then there's something wrong with you and your faith, and you may not even be saved.
All right, I got a couple questions. Penn Jillette is a very famous atheist. He's more well known as a magician, but he's a very honest magician. He says, when people come to see our shows, they know we're fooling them. They know these are tricks. We don't hide it, but it's still very entertaining. He's actually said in an essay I read a couple of years ago that the lowest form of magician is the mentalist and the faith healer.
Yeah.
Because they don't admit that it's just a trick. They want you to believe that they're really doing something. And he just doesn't believe that's honest tradecraft, so to speak. What are your thoughts there?
I think Penn Jillette is absolutely right. Keep in mind, although he denies God, Scripture is very clear. There's no such thing as an atheist. He's suppressing the truth and unrighteousness, but that's a different topic altogether. So you'll note then, this atheist is making an appeal then to the law of God, the commandments of God against deception. And he notes then that it is immoral and unethical for you to engage in sleight of hand and trickery and illusion while claiming that your ability to do this has nothing to do with your hand manipulations and stuff like that. But the claim is that I have special powers that I've been endowed with by God or the spiritual realm. And Penn Jillette's absolutely right. It is unethical, and these people are slime balls. And unfortunately, Christianity nowadays, it's this weird thing where in evangelicalism, in the charismatic movement, they will defend Todd White to the death. But if you critique him, you are off the bus. You're not really a Christian. You're causing division within the body of Christ. Clearly, he's a man of God. Can't you see the miracles that he's performing? This is how they talk. And you should see the emails I get. You know, and over again, I cannot begin to tell you how many times people have accused me of, well, the reason why you're challenging Todd White is because you're jealous of his success and God has blessed him with a $1 million mansion and all this kind of nonsense. I'm not jealous of him at all. I actually fear for the fellow. If he doesn't repent, he's going to spend an eternity in hell, and he's going to have to explain all of this to Jesus. The real one, the one who did everything that he did on earth, and after the incarnation, he did as the God-man and still continues to pray for us. And so the false Jesus he believes in and the false miracles that he's putting forward are incapable of saving him, and he knows that he's putting on a con show, and he's made a lot of money doing so, and Scripture describes fellows like him as those who teach for shameful gain things that they ought not to teach. His heart has been hardened, and if he doesn't repent, then he's going to face judgment, and that's a terrible thing. I am not jealous of him. I am very deeply concerned for him and his soul.
With about a minute, I know you're equally concerned with those who follow him. It's shocking to see how easily people clap when he just makes some sort of completely unsubstantiated claim about a healing that he performed. But wouldn't this be just so easy to verify? Let's get somebody who really does have a leg that we can do the x-rays and see that it's shorter than the other. Mm-hmm. People are born this way.
Yeah.
Let's bring him to Todd White. Todd White says the guy doesn't have to believe. I'll believe for him. And let's see it happen. Let's see it actually. And then we'll do the x-rays. We'll get the doctors in, the osteo doctors in to check the length of the bones. And it's very easy to verify.
Yeah, and when you do that, they'll accuse you of putting God in a box, or you're quenching the spirit, and you're putting God to the test, and how dare you touch God's anointed. They just throw a bunch of out-of-context verses and slogans at you, and they say, what we've done, it's visible for everybody, it speaks for itself.
What kind of miracles are you going to be debunking tonight on Fighting for the Faith?
Tonight, we're going to actually be playing an episode where we talk about the latest fad in evangelicalism. It's called the Enneagram, and it's supposedly a personality test, But in reality, this so-called personality test was developed by New Agers. And there's a whole quack spirituality behind it. So we'll be listening to Stephen Kozar, Marcia Montenegro, kind of lay bare the whole concept of the Enneagram and why, as Christians, we should avoid this particular personality test because it's just laced with New Age spirituality and other things.
Be sure to listen to Chris Rosebro and Fighting for the Faith in about a half hour, right after the live broadcast of Issues Etc. at piratechristian.com, piratechristian.com. Pastor Chris Rosebro, pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
On the other side of the break, it's Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We're going to play four soundbites for you, one from Pastor Hans Feeney, one from Dr. Richard Gamble, another from Dr. John Pless, and a fourth from Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. You'll listen, and then your votes will determine which will be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week.
Jesus never takes volunteers. Rather, he is the one who initiates discipleship.
Dr. John Pless, author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, Luther's Small Catechism, a manual for discipleship.
Jesus is the one who confiscates the lives of those that he chooses through his word and makes of them disciples.
Learn more about this new resource, Luther's Small Catechism, a manual for discipleship, at issuesetc.org.
At Zion Lutheran Church, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, we've adopted the motto, A Changeless Christ for a Changing World. While many congregations try to market a message that appeals to what a changing world wants, we continue to give a constantly changing world what it needs. A changeless Christ in word and sacraments like the church has done for 2,000 years. If you're in Chippewa Falls and would like to have the forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and salvation that Jesus won on the cross and delivers today in his church, please join us poor, miserable sinners. For more information, visit cfzionlutheran.com.
Nadia Bowles Weber calls for a sexual reformation in her latest book, Shameless. How does her reformation compare with the truths rediscovered during the 16th century Reformation? I've written a review of Shameless in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button on the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Andrew Abraham details his journey from Catholic priest to Lutheran pastor. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
Emmanuel Press is a Lutheran-owned business in Fort Wayne, Indiana, in operation since 2004. That's 15 years of publishing liturgical and devotional books, 15 years of collaborating with Lutheran authors, artists, and translators. Thanks to our loyal customers and Issues Etc., we look forward to many more years of confessing and teaching the Christian faith. Visit us online at emmanuelpress.us, E-M-M-A-N-U-E-L, press.us.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Discover a truly Lutheran approach to education. Concordia University Chicago's Center for the Advancement of Lutheran Liberal Arts supports a vibrant, growing community of classical educators. Whether you're a teacher, administrator, parent, or homeschooler, we have the resources and contacts you need to start a child's journey into the Lutheran Liberal Arts. Visit cuchicago.edu/cala. That's C-A-L-L-A.